the introduction and talking about different way Packers mental pathogen program. I will take just a few minutes to introduce Dana. All of you have his bio. He's outstanding marketing person. So he's Dana Vandenhoevel is the founder of the marketing consulting firm, the Market Savant Group. He's an award-winning marketing blogger. We are so happy and honored to have him presenting to all of you, because right now, in this age, everyone needs a little more tips in regards to the marketing, and I'm sure that Dana will share with us how to be better marketing ourselves, especially in regards to the social media, because I think he's one of the best there. He's a widely recognized expert on thought leadership marketing, social media, and interactive marketing trends. And he has been speaking all over the United States. So I think we're lucky to have him here with us. Before I turn the microphone to him, I will ask you to fill the feedback form you have in front of you, because this is our first seminar. We would like to get better. So please feel free to share with us any thoughts you might have, what topics you would like to see us putting together, and everything should be in regards to you growing your business. Because what the Green Bay Packers Mentor Protege would like to create is, we would like to create a sustainable economic growth in our community. We would like to make sure that we live in a successful business community, and that will be if we help you grow. So please let me finish with the welcome, Dana. Thank you, Dana, and enjoy his presentation.
One way to market is to do product placement. And as I'm watching those guys, I'm like, wow, there's this great blue water bottle from Brita sitting right up here. So if you get your product placed in front of celebrities, I think I am. That's one way to go to market, right? Get that out of the way. Thank you everyone for coming. I really appreciate you spending your Wednesday afternoon and talking about marketing, which is the most exciting subject in the world to me. How many of you find marketing is the most exciting thing in the world? You can't think so, right? But for the next 45 minutes, it will be, because we've got a lot to cover. Can you guys hear me okay that way? All right, excellent. So, when Anna first asked me to talk about marketing to the group, she said, well, it can't really be all social media. It needs to be a bit more the marketing, foundational, fundamental, some of the ground-up stuff. But I want to take a little different approach to it. Because I think what a lot of us knew about marketing or know about marketing from before has changed. You know, consumers have changed, we've all changed. And there's some things that even our own behavior that we do every day and we may not think about has changed how people market to you and especially how you need to go to market as well. So without too much further intro, we've got a lot to cover in 45 minutes time. We'll have a few minutes at the end for questions and answers and feedback and things like that, but we'll get going. One thing that we do for every event and do for you guys as well is there's a series of resources that we always provide, the slides afterwards, some handouts and things like that, and marketingspot.com/protege is where you'll find that. Go ahead, download, you know, have at it with your business, and you'll see maybe some things in here that you would find useful, some tools and templates that that might be helpful. And so I'll show this again before we're done for those of you that want to capture it and look at that in your copious amounts of free time, I'm sure you all have running your businesses, right? So definition of marketing. You're like, oh my God, it's starting with the definition of marketing. It's actually a little bit more interesting than that. When we think about marketing, it's quite simple. And we like to break it down into a few components. It's about getting people to know us. How many of you can answer with confidence, the question, does everyone in my market, my target market, know that I exist? Does everyone who should know that you exist? Any of you have that problem? How many of you wish everyone knew you existed? That would be all, right? So the very first challenge that we're dealing with is getting people to know us. Well, once they know us, well, that's great. They know you and a lot of competitors, right? These are terms like commoditization, where, well, just the same as everyone else. Well, you're not, or you wouldn't be in business, right? You have some level of differentiation. We'll talk about that. Meeting people like us. And finally, how many of you like to do business with people that you don't trust? Yeah, that'd be none of us, right? Unless we absolutely have to. But rarely do we like to do business with people we don't trust. And that may sound pretty simplistic, but it's really quite true, especially with as much competition as there is out there. And I would venture to guess that most of us have some level of competition in the market. Once people know, like, and trust us, then we want them to act on that knowledge, affinity, and trust. They need to try us, they need to buy, they need to repeat buy, they need to refer to people in, and in the era of social media or the engaged customer, as we'll talk about, they not only need to do all of these things, but they also need to share it, right? Word of mouth, online, blogs, Facebook, okay. But this is our job as business owners and as marketers underneath the role of business owner, is to get people to get to the level of and act on that, and then continue to act on that for our businesses. So we like to position marketing in your business as a system, like every other system, right? We have a system for accounting, a system for inventory, and a system for architecting, drawings, approved, and things submitted, and what have you. The world relies on systems, right? And if we're going to have anything that we can repeat as a process and have employees running the business, we have to have a system for them. So marketing needs to be systematized as well so that we can do it well, we can do it repeatedly, and we can do it without, you know, a lot of extra effort or a lot of headache. Marketing should be, from my perspective, it should be fun, right? For how many of you is marketing fun? Okay, just a couple of us, right? I'm trying to make it a little more fun today. And that system involves strategy, what we call a marketing map. You can name a number of different things. It involves understanding the ideal customer. We talked a little bit about that. It involves understanding how you're different, why you're different, how people see you as different. In fact, they do see you as different, which they should. Understanding how people buy, that's changed. We'll talk about that a little bit. Understanding that content, and that's really one of the biggest shifts here. You know, to my point earlier about, you know, talk marketing, we're going to talk about it in a slightly different way, in a slightly more vague way. Content matters. Why that is, and what do you mean by content, how do you create that, how do you go to market with content. Inbound marketing, which is different than outbound, right? Outbound is advertising. Outbound is spending, you know, $20,000 when we launch our business, putting ads everywhere on the radio and TV, and hoping that they get something. Inbound is doing things that attract customers. Inbound is much more effective over time than outbound is much less expensive, more cost effective. But we trade some of the capital for the dollars for human capital of our effort and our work. So we'll talk a little about how that works and why that's a better path, potentially. And then finally, living by the marketing calendar. How many of you guys have a marketing plan that you refer to on, at worst case, a quarterly basis? Best case, monthly basis? All right, a few of us, awesome. Marketing should be something that, you know, for us, as a marketing company, we market every day. We look at our plan every morning and decide, you know, are we planning for next week, next month, or next quarter? It is what keeps us on track, what keeps us, out front. And I would encourage all of you to stay and talk about how we do. So, one quick wake-up call, if you will. There's a lot of numbers, it's meant to be an eye chart, not meant to be something that you can take notes on. And when you look at all the challenges that we have, which we call mass marketing, you know, how many of us trust advertising? Not many of us typically, right? When you look at an ad and say, oh, I believe everything they're saying in that ad. Not so much. Especially as it gets into, you know, more interesting products, personal products and things like that we see advertised online. The number of ads we see, the number of us who, you know, feel like we're bombarded with too much advertising, et cetera, all things that point to we need to think about marketing a little bit differently than we have in the past. When we look at where the next generation of executives are going and how they see marketing, there's some interesting anecdotes, and we pulled this one from a recent report from July that was written in the Kids Reporter, which is a fairly well-regarded publication in business. Companies must be more outside the confines of traditional marketing, which is why today we're going to talk about content and inbound and some of the things that are being used by the most innovative companies and really going beyond, you know, the traditional experience that people have with marketing. I mean, everything in some way is an experience about marketing or an experience of a brand, and that's really the next level of how we deliver services as a total experience. Marketing is part of it. So the very first thing that we think about, what comes to mind when we talk about marketing for any business, large, small, solopreneur, or, you know, multi-billion dollar organization, is that strategy comes before tactics, right? It always should. I teach marketing promotions at St. Omer, and the kids in their marketing promotions class, which is one of the few classes, or one of the last classes, sorry, to take before they graduate, all the classes seniors except for two juniors, they want to get into the fun stuff right away, which is the tactical, right? I want to do this, I want to buy that, I want to place this ad, I want to run this commercial. You look to one end, and if, when we talk about strategy and objectives and all those things with them, it's a semester-long process just to understand, you know, how to do a marketing strategy. You don't even actually place an ad or do anything tactical. Today, we're going to spend a few minutes, and you know, these guys take a semester to do. But the big thing is the marketing strategy, understanding the ideal customer, and understanding how we do it. Okay? So let's walk through each of these. As an organization, as a business owner, we need to take the long view, especially as it relates to building market share. Those of us that test tactics and just do are doomed to underperform if we don't have a strategy that's driving what it is that we're doing in the marketplace, right? We actually need to have some guiding light, some vision for how we're going to market, or what, to waste money and spin our wheel. And we're underwhelmed by how marketing performs, or how I placed that ad and they've got, you know, 1,000, whatever, whatever, or they've got 20,000 readers, I expected 20 customers and I got 2. Okay, well, that sucked. How do we do that? Well, what's your strategy? You're reaching the right people. So when we think about strategy, I realize this is a bit of an eye chart. This is why you might want to download a few resources, but we do a lot of work in what we call mind mapping. And so this is something that I would encourage all of you to go back. And if you haven't done that, it's a really fun exercise on a Saturday morning. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, this is a blast. It really is, especially if you're doing it and I'm not. So some simple things are important, right? We break this up into four buckets. You know, bucket one is the fundamentals, and this is more, you know, organization strategy. What do I want my company to do? And in fact, when we go through marketing promotions at school, we look at corporate strategy, marketing strategy, and then tactical execution. And we try to do that same thing here. What do I want my organization to do? I want to grow X percentage. I want to reach, you know, X value in the market. I want to do these things with the company. Now I need to put that into marketing and tactically apply that to how I do reach these objectives. What are some of the markets I want to reach? You know, are there some primary, like, absolutely we need to reach these companies? And, you know, it'd be great if I could get these guys too, but we sometimes do business from these folks and we'll just kind of harvest them, you know, as a tertiary marketer, third or fourth tier. But really understanding who's most important, where is my greatest opportunity. Understanding my differentiation, which we'll talk a bit more about, because that's absolutely key. When someone says, well, why you? How do you answer, why you? Do you have a great answer for why you? We'll talk about that a little more. And then, you know, are there different things we need to do for different markets? Some of you are business to consumer. How many of you are business to consumer in your marketing versus business? How many are business to business? We'll talk a little bit about B2B and B2B. Then we think a little bit about the tactical. Okay, we know what we want to do, we have a strategy, we have some vision for this, we have some objectives to accomplish. What are some of the tactics we can use? And we'll talk about a few that are working well today. What am I going to do every day? Yes, to the answer is the answer to the question, do I need to market my business every day? Yeah, you do. You need to do something daily. You may not be buying a new ad daily or running a new commercial daily or writing a new blog post every day. You need to do something every day. Marketing is something that should be on your agenda at some point in the day. It should be something that you check the box on every day, and if nothing else, you check the box. And we're able to say, yeah, I've done my marketing for the day, so to speak. I've done my marketing for the week, I've done it for the month, I've done it for the quarter, which culminates in a great year of reaching out to the market and reaching the people that need to hear that I exist. And then you can answer yes to the question, does everyone who should know about me know that I exist, know what I stand for? Then we look at the monthly plans. And why do we put monthly in its own bucket? Because things happen in a month, right? There's events, there are milestones, there are things that we should be part of. For example, we have all kinds of things going on around holiday coming up. For some of us, that might not matter. Business to business, yeah, we'll send some Christmas cards, kind of a deal. For retailers, holidays are a huge deal. We probably start planning for them in summer if we're really astute for this week if we're a little behind. All depends, right? But what are some of those key dates, industry events, shows I need to be at? Some of us are already planning for the Chamber's Business Expo next year in March, which is a great venue for a lot of companies. And we talked to an organization yesterday who's already making plans and has a bit of a strategy together for what they want to do next year. Well, that's what we're thinking. But they know month to month what's going to happen to them. And then finally, we look at what we call the marketing review cycle. We never go more than a month, and certainly not more than 60 days, and an absolute worst case in quarter, without coming back and reviewing some of the questions like, did we meet the goals that we had set? Did we achieve what we expected? What happened to deviate? Did we win, did we lose? So that we don't go a whole year and get to the end of the year and say, oh my God, I wasted all that money. Anyone ever had that problem? No one? Good, excellent. Not true, I see a lot of head nods. No one wants to raise their hand for that. So this is, if nothing else, this is a great Saturday exercise, the Monday morning exercise, whatever you want to do it. But to just think through, what am I expecting? What am I doing? What's coming up so that I don't miss an opportunity? There are so many people that reach out to you and say, oh, you know what, there was this great show I should have been at, or there was this expo, or there was this whatever in the paper where they were doing this feature on whatever, my business should have been in there. Why wasn't it? Because you weren't paying attention. So having that plan is a good start. What's next? How many of us have really sat down to define who our ideal customer is? And I don't mean who's your target market. For us, target market are companies that could use marketing, which would include essentially all of you. Are all of you the ideal customer? Sorry, probably not. Not everyone is, right? There may be other firms that would serve better. We look at what we call, and we stole this from a book called Book Solid, or Book Yourself Solid. So this isn't an original idea by any stretch, but what we call the Red Velvet Book Policy. And when we sit down with an organization, we're able to say, we work really well with these type of companies. And if you're the type of company that's not like this, we might not have a great fit. And we have to tell that to an organization this week. Large organization, 200 employees, with a great client by all estimation. But they didn't go to market the way that we specialize in taking companies to market. So it would have been a lot of tears and gnashing of teeth throughout the whole engagement. And why put ourselves through that? That works. So really understanding the ideal customer. What does that do? One, it helps attract the right people. Two, it eliminates a lot of frustration. Three, when you sit down in front of an organization or a person, or someone comes into your store, they can sense, wow, okay, these guys really have it out for me. This is made for me. We have a good fit here. Have any of you ever had a client that you wish you didn't have? Right? You're like, how did we get this far? How did I take on this? Oh, that's right, I was desperate looking for cash flow. Yeah, well, that happens, I get it. But when we start understanding who that ideal is, it really helps us to formulate a better strategy so we attract more of the right customer, which is directly through business. And that's when having a business is really fun. We get down to the level of actually having a persona. This is a little bit more geeky than some of us might want to get, but let me explain to see where we go here. A persona is understanding more than just flat demographics. It's understanding a bit about behavior. It's understanding a bit about what does this person want from you? What do they want from their relationship? How do they buy? How do they work? How do they do what they do insofar as how they would work with you? You know, we look at personas of marketing VPs, of business owners, social media managers, and we do social media work, and really try to understand what are all their characteristics. When you look at a persona, it actually looks almost like a personal profile of an individual. This is one that was done for Vistaprint. And Vistaprint gives names to people. So we were working on a book project recently, and the author said, well, it's a small business book, so everyone should buy it. Who owns a business? I'm like, that's a lot of people. Well, the book's perfect for everyone. No, it's not perfect for everyone. Who's the type of person that you typically sit across the table with in your 12 years of doing this? Well, this type of person, oh, there you go. Here's another type, here's another type. And we're able to come up with five personas that now we can actually, you know, write copy for and advertise and market to these types of people and reach them on a level that's more emotional, which is how all of us buy anyway at the end of the day. You may rationalize, but it's still very much on emotion as you buy everything from TV dinners to cars to homes to whatever it is. But when we build a persona, we just try to understand a bit more about who that person is. We'll paint a picture of who they are. And this then feeds back into that ideal customer. Okay, I can picture, in this case, Patricia the perfectionist. You know what? I'm a perfectionist. We do great work in our business. It's a little more expensive. We know that Patricia the perfectionist is going to be a great profile for us, a person for us to work with, because they appreciate the level of detail that we bring. Where if I was working with, you know, Quinn the Quickster, for example, Quinn wants it done fast, he wants it done cheap, he doesn't care about anything, torn edges, wrinkled corners, whatever it is. You know what? You put too much work in to work with someone like that. We're probably not a good fit. So understanding more about that person than just, hey, they live in this neighborhood and they make this much money, and, you know, they have 3.4 children or whatever the answer is. Persona really brings us a level of understanding about that ideal customer. Once we understand a bit about our strategy and a bit about who our ideal customer is, the biggest challenge for a lot of businesses is differentiation. How many of you have a very solid idea of precisely how you're different than all your competitors? Well, a few. Anyone questioning, how do I differentiate myself? How do I really set myself apart? Maybe a few of us, right? We want to understand what sets us apart. When you're sitting toe-to-toe with four competitors, or you're on a street where there's seven more stores like yours, how are you different? What's the best way to find this out? Ask the people you want to serve. Ask them, why us? What made you choose us? What do you tell other people when you tell them about us? What great attributes, what adjectives, what words do you use to tell them why you chose us? What makes you prefer? And out of this, there's typically a few themes that emerge for, you know, why are we different and how are we different? And everything that we do in marketing, whether it's our messaging, our advertising, our content, needs to explain and re-explain why you're different. You know, think of the bank you work with, think of the car you drive, think of all the different things for which there are a dozen or more brands that you work with. Why that brand? People need to be able to answer that for you and about you with absolute clarity if you're going to stay competitive. Understanding why you're different and having a well-articulated sense of your differentiation, right? What do people really buy when they're buying from you? And this isn't necessarily the same as what we just talked about, back to a second, about how are you different. This is what are they buying. Are they buying peace of mind? Are they buying innovation? Are they buying the way that you do something? Are they buying the good feeling of working with someone they actually like working with? Which is how a lot of our businesses are developed, right? The relationships. Yeah, people still do buy relationships. We all do. But it's interesting to understand why the people that buy what you have to sell, and specifically why they buy from you. Why do they buy? This goes back to an old article from the 70s called Marketing Myopia that says, well, what business are we really in? We'll talk about that more in a second here. Which gets to how you say what you really do as an organization or as a person. This was looking at an architect. And an architect, you might say, well, I'm an architect. Well, yeah, you and everyone else. You know, I get what an architect is, so why you? Well, as an architect, we help, you know, or as an expediter, we help contractors get paid fast. Oh, you help someone do something. Okay, now I listen. We can give you a complimentary assessment. Okay, well, so can everyone else. We can give you an adjustment compliance system. Actually, it's really the same as an assessment. But we've actually branded it and put a system around it. You know, so think of the things you do and try to sometimes, in some cases, you know, divorce them from what we might consider as the marketing myopia message years ago and the railroad said we're in the railroad business. No, you're not. You're in the transportation business. Now we're business of the railroad business. They're in some cases, the green business, right? You see the ads for CSX saying we can move X tons of freight, a mile, and a gallon of fuel. Well, who are they talking to? We're talking to the conservationist in all of us that says, wow, that's better than what a truck could do it, or what a plane could do it. So they're not necessarily in the business of railroad, they're in the business of transportation, or in the business of, you know, peace of mind. So when you say what it is you do, it isn't always meant to be what do you do at the desk every day. So once we have our strategy, we understand the ideal customer, and we understand how we're different, that's when things get really interesting. Before we go, does that make sense so far? Am I under the plan, or is this, hey, I read this in Marketing 101 last semester? Right. Make sense? We're good? All right. We moved into what we would call an era of customer engagement. Question. How many of you have ever made a decision based on a product review online and bought something, either that product or a different product, because of the review? Anyone? More than a few of you, right? We're into an era, think of that 10 years ago. You know, think of that pre-Amazon. You know, how many of us have gone to Amazon to research something and then buy it somewhere else? Why? Because we could actually get a feel for, 39 or 3,900 customers' opinions. And yeah, we still go and buy it from our local retailer or our friend on the street. We want to know which one to get. Or maybe we do get it from Amazon or wherever. But we've moved into an era where people look at an ad and they say, okay, that ad is great. Where do they go next after they see the ad? It's a little thing called Google, right? They go and look up. Well, okay, I want to know more. And we'll talk more about that and what that means, but how people buy is different and how you need to reach them is different. There's this thing that Google put out this summer that they coined the zero moment of truth. And this is a bit geeky for some of us, but this is one of those trust me in 5 years you'll all do this. Has anyone ever gone into a store and looked up something while they're in the store on their phone? Anyone, a couple of geeks who've done that? Excellent. Good to hear. The zero moment of truth is a take off of what Procter & Gamble did in about the 2002 to 2006 area, what they call the first moment of truth. It's when you walk, and you see this now in the Allstate commercials, where it's kind of an interesting play on it, where the lady goes up, swipes the can off the shelf, and just keeps walking, and the Allstate guy's like, whoa, didn't you see the Allstate? And she's like, what? And then he says, yeah, it's a tiny tow truck on the top, for those of you who've seen the ad, you know what I'm talking about. The first moment of truth was at the store shelf, or it was at whatever that sort of first, I'm going to go buy something, let me see what's available in the store to buy. That's the first moment of truth. You've got between 3 and 7 seconds to get your attention and sell you and get you out of the eye. That was what Procter & Gamble put all of its efforts, late 90s into the 2000s, it was publicized, and they really perfected it, in the 2000s. Now we're in the zero moment of truth. One of you might say, hey, you should try this, whatever it is. You're going to say, oh, cool. I'm going to go to my phone and I'm going to Google it, or I'm going to go home and look it up. I never even get to the first moment of truth. I never get to the store shelf. I never get to the retailer website. Reading a random review on opinions or something like that, So I ever get an opportunity to encounter a brand, or vice versa, the brand ever gets an opportunity to sell something to me. Does this matter to all of us every day? Part of me could say no, it doesn't, but at the end of the day, it really does. Because how people make decisions has changed, right? The second moment of truth is your experience. So the first moment of truth, hey, you should go try Chives. I go there, and what if I have a bad experience? Well, your second moment of truth and the review that you write then becomes my zero moment of truth when I go to look up, I wonder if Chives is any good when I go into out of town. I might bypass the place entirely because of something that you've shared because of your experience. So everything matters. And more pie chart numbers that we don't need to pay attention to all of them. But the bottom line is, we all look at reviews, we all look for feedback. Word of mouth is still the most powerful way to go to market, and it can sink or slow your business without you exerting much control. In fact, the social media folks will say, well, you have no control. Well, you do have some. You can exert influence. But the control that you have over the message has diminished significantly over the last couple of decades, right? So this, your experience is now my first experience, or zero experience with a brand. That's powerful. We all influence each other in ways that we didn't before. And remember, know, like, and trust. If I first learn about you, then I need to like you. I can't really like you if all I see is negative things about you online. It's kind of tough to like you that way. And certainly, I'll never get to trust, and you can be very well assured that I'll never try you. So the way we buy has changed dramatically. This is how it used to be, right? As business-to-business people, we had a sales funnel. We got people to come in, they became aware, they come out the other end as buyers. It looks a little like this now. The funnel's changed, right? There's all these other influences. There's recommendations, there's user-generated content, there are reviews that we've all written, competitive alternatives, of course, of which there are always more, peer reviews, and it's a much more convoluted way that we make decisions sometimes than it was before. And certainly, it's much more convoluted for the organization in how we sell. Okay? So, what we need to do as an organization is actually understand how people buy and map what we're creating when we talk about content next to where they're at in the cycle. Everyone comes to you in a certain state of mind. They might already be conversing about the product with their family and ready to buy. You might just be becoming aware, so on and so forth. But we need to understand that people come to us in so many different stages of the purchase process. It's not linear like it used to be even 10, 15 years ago. In some cases, even 5 years ago, for some reason. This has really changed a lot of things. So we need to be thinking about where are people at? How do we meet them? How do we create content that tells them we're the right one for them so they can know, like, and trust us more quickly, okay? Quick quote, but the point is, when you look at all of the channels that are out there, it's no longer sufficient for a new business to start and say, I'm gonna put an ad in a trade magazine, maybe an ad on the radio, or if I'm a retailer, I'm gonna put an ad on TV, radio, and a newspaper, and hope that it wins. Or, God forbid, I might actually use the Yellow Pages. How many of us use the Yellow Pages on a regular basis? Couple. That's about it. Did some fascinating research on the Yellow Pages this year. It's kind of scary. So we know that all these outbound things are challenged. TV, radio, newspaper. There's something new, if you will, called inbound marketing. We want to take the rest of our time talking about inbound and content and how we can leverage some of this as we go to market. What is inbound marketing? Well, it's actually pretty straightforward. It includes all kinds of things. It includes some social media. It includes some traditional media. It includes some things that are kind of a hybrid between, through media, or public relations, and things like that. There may be things that you've never thought of with your marketing that, oh, that's interesting. That'll bring your customers, and they'll try it. It might cost you a lot less. You think of just a few things on here. We'll take the top, news, media, and PR. How many of us send out press releases or have ever done any PR of our business at all? A few. Usually we find it's fewer than we think should have. And the common answer we hear is, well, what do people want to hear about our business? Or what's newsworthy in our business? Like, really? That's your answer? Everything in your business should be newsworthy to you. The question should be, well, how do I take all this great stuff that's going on in my business and make it meaningful so that someone wants to read it? Some of you might have seen a quick press release in the Press Gazette saying that I was speaking here. How newsworthy is that? Dependent, right? On whether or not you're interested in marketing and the protege program. But the Press Gazette looked at it and said, oh, that sounds newsworthy, we'll print that today. Probably a slow news day. I get that. But hey, you know what? All better for us, because you're all here. Of course, by the way, you found out about it too. But think about that. What does it cost to do that? Relatively little. What happens? People see that. It's great earned placement, and it causes inbound traffic to either websites or Facebook pages or your telephone. It attracts them. Writing articles. Every news outlet needs content. Every single day of the week, every single day of the year. Where do you think they get that from? There was a study a couple years back that actually said that 80% of the material that shows up in the Wall Street Journal, up to 80% of the given day, between 60 and 80, is because of people like you who either submit articles or submit news releases or otherwise the work done to things going on in your business. Now again, with all of our small businesses show up in the Wall Street Journal, not necessarily. There's a lot of large organizations with bigger megaphones that might go ahead of us. Could we show up in the Press Gazette or Post Crescent? No doubt. Absolutely. B2B, Insight, Business News, Bay Business Journal, Chamber? No doubt. Absolutely. We've all got some great stuff to say. And that's all things that bring people inbound to us. They're not paying for a lot of ads. Then we look at some of the stuff that we can actually do. Can we write a blog in our industry or in our community and talk about what we do and share valuable content? Absolutely. What does that take? You know, half hour a day, 10 half-hour day. What's your time? You know, what you spend on that ad or what you spend on that, you know, whatever you just promoted in the last month. Some of the inbound marketing, in fact, a lot of inbound marketing is about, again, replacing some of those hard dollars that you would lay out for ads and, you know, putting in place those some time. With your time that actually creates things of value that people want to hear. Did you do an email newsletter? We're at InCompetition, some of you might know that is over at University, Substitutes, and Vibes. InCompetition is a newsletter, mostly everyone. Some of it's about sales and deal stuff, some of it's about classes, some of it's just about articles and tips and what have you. And we're there working on the Facebook page and, you know, a plan for that. And two customers were leaving, and they were talking to me, they were like, oh, what are you guys doing? They're sitting at the front counter. I said, well, we're working on the website and Facebook. Oh, we love your newsletter. We get it. It's really cool. We see great deals. In fact, we came into the skis because the newsletter. But then we read the fitness tips, and we go sit back on the couch and think about what we might do next. I'm like, ah, that's funny. But here are two customers that came in, hadn't been there for 6 months, and said, we get the newsletter a month. We love it. What does it cost them to do that? A couple bucks a month. About $15, actually. In a little bit of time. What do they get? They have a base of 3,000 loyal customers that, you know, if they did no other outbound advertising, they do very little of, that base of 3,000 would keep them in business and very happy for years to come. And they built a lot of it by creating things that matter, getting involved in social networks. If you're a business-to-business provider, doing things like webinars, sharing valuable content. Hey, I've got something to say, something I can teach people. Take a half an hour and do it. Get 150 people to sign up, follow up with them as leads, so on and so forth. Inbound marketing is really about sharing your story, sharing your expertise, sharing your business as an organization with your constituents. Things that people actually want to hear. Do people want to see your ads? Maybe. It's not likely. Sorry, they may be creative, but not likely. Do they still drive business? No doubt. All the outbound stuff still does, but it's less effective. And getting less and less effective. All of these things that we can participate in, doing video, doing webinars, blogs, participating in social media, not the be-all end-all, but certainly effective ways to drive traffic in. And then we have the old way, you know, some of the things we get outbound, Things that bring people to the back, people that are attracted to what we have to say, like our ideas of sample our content. So let's talk a little bit about that. One of the things that businesses are looking at for 2012, and more of it, because we get these calls and we get these questions, is I need to do more education in my market. Why do we need more education? Well, people don't really know what I do, they don't understand why we're different, we need to educate them. And you say, well, that means you need to share information with them that's valuable, which means you need to start to share information that's not necessarily all about you. In marketing, in so many ways, remember, we're back to know, like, and trust. What is that very much like? It's very much like networking. How many of you like going to a networking event and finding that one person who just wants to come up and start selling? What do you do to that person? Ignore them? Walk away? Do you go back to try to find them later on? Do you hide from them? Yes, probably. Do you think that's a very effective strategy for them? Not likely. What if you go to a networking event and you ask some questions? Share some insight. You actually become a friend, build relationships. People start to know you, start to like you, start to trust you, and then, hey, I need some help. Insurance or whatever it is. You become a trusted advisor, a trusted resource. By having a good point of view, by having a good perspective, by having a unique perspective, gives us the opportunity to get some shared voice in the market. You see this, read the business news, and you see over and over, grab the last 6 months of them every 2 weeks, and you'll see people show up in articles over and over again. Why? Because the market has said, we like that point of view. If I look at records management in the area, you've got Eric over at the Farms as an example. Eric's in news columns, he's in newspapers, he's in business news, always talking about different things to do with records management. In terms of share of voice, who has it? He owns it in a lot of ways. That brings share of mind. A lot of us walk around with what we call a top 40 mindset. If I say car, brand comes to mind. Tennis shoes, brand comes to mind. Records management in Green Bay, brand comes to mind. And that's what we want. We want that share of mind, which ultimately leads to share of market. That's what our content is designed to deliver. When you think about that content you create that educates the market, not only should it not be all about you, you should think about the sphere of interest of our audience. This goes back to sales 101 years ago when they said you should go into a prospect's office and do what? Look at pictures of his kids and compliment him. Today that might be creepy. careful with that, right? Times have changed, legal practice and all. However, think about this for a light shop. People are interested in clubs, racing. On a more broad scale, they're interested in eating healthy, right? They're on the bike, trying to stay fit, might be interested in parks, might be interested in travel, interested in family time. If I'm a light shop, I'm not just going to talk about wheels and sprockets and gears all day. I'm going to talk about that whole sphere of interest of my audience. I'm going to try to engage them on things that are beyond just maybe what my product is, but not outside that sphere of interest, right? Whether I'm an electrician or an architect or manufacturer, you know, what people are interested in, what I help them with, and it goes back to articulating what business you're in, goes beyond, you know, the widgets, trinkets, or services I offer. It might go to peace of mind, it might go to, you know, a greater process in your business. So thinking about the sphere of interest. Meant to be another eye chart, a mind map, exactly. When we think about that being a trusted expert or being a thought leader, there's so many ways we can do this, which is, you know, kind of back to the non-marketing. But that content can take so many different forms. Writing an article, sending a newsletter, doing something that, you know, tells people, hey, you know what? We're here, we've got all these great things to offer, but really looking out for your business. You really understand the benefits and the value you get from working with us, and here we want to offer a little bit more of that, right? And yeah, we need to do this daily. You know, we're not thinking about how am I marketing daily, how am I marketing weekly, how am I marketing monthly, quarterly, so on and so forth. We do silo. So when we actually do a marketing plan, we sit down and think about, you know, how am I going to go to market in 2012? Do you need to map out every single day? No, but you need to think about what are the few things I should be doing daily. One of the things that we look at is, well, every day, and I don't expect to see in the back, it's tough to see from here. But we map out every day, well, you know what, we could try to write an article that gets placed, or every week we should try an article. or, you know, every day we should reach out to a few people, or every day we should do X, Y, or Z. Not that we have, you know, January 1 through 30 mapped out precisely, but we've got an idea of every day, here's a box to check it, so that I'm marketing my business and never losing sight of it, growing the organization. If you take this all the way back to the model that we shared at the beginning, where we get people to know, like, and trust us, and then try, buy, repeat, refer, kind of like mapping the different types of content, the different stages, right? We can do articles, encourage referrals, get them to like us through a newsletter that they subscribe to and get to know us over time, get to trust us by attending a webinar or presentation, or in business-to-business cases, a white paper that explains our position and why our ideas are so great. Getting them to try, along with to evaluate. You know, we ask the question, are you easy to do business with? How do you share with your customers that, you know what, we're so easy to do business with, it's going to be frictionless, it's going to be seamless, we're going to make your life very simple, whether we're a retailer or whether we're business-to-business. How do we get people to try us? You know, in what ways do we actually give them an opportunity to sample us? In our business, it's creating a white paper, it's creating a webinar. They can see what our knowledge and perspective is. They're like, wow, I like what those guys have to say. I think we'll try it. You know, they actually pay us. Wow, imagine that. You know, what do you offer? Do you make it easy to switch? You know, think about what the credit unions are doing today with banks, trying to make it easy to switch from bank to credit union. They really thought through this, make it easy to switch, make it so easy so that people have no pain switching suppliers. You know, are your suppliers, peers, competitors, making it easier for customers to do business with them than with you? That's a challenge. The last thing we do, and again, back to this, we live by that calendar every single day. You know, there's some great things that we could share in terms of marketing. Oh, here's a great Facebook strategy, here's a great, you know, whatever strategy it is. But at the end of the day, the one reason that most businesses fail with their marketing is a lack of consistency and no approach, no strategy. So no strategy and no consistency in executing that strategy. And so thinking about, again, you know, what do we do every day? How do we do that tactical daily and the monthly so that we never lose sight of an opportunity and we execute on a daily basis? This is our actual plan. I always share this at the end as a, you know, this is what we do. You know, this is how we get to where we're at. You know, every day, follow up on leads, respond to emails, write a blog post, collect content for newsletters and ebooks. Yeah, I read something I think my customers would like to hear about that. Save the link. Every week, we try to do an article and a few blog posts. Every month, or every other week, we try to do a couple more things. Every month, you know, we try to speak, group like this, or a webinar, or something like that. Every quarter, you know, we like to do something where maybe it's a bigger event. Every half year, we do this, and every year, and then, you know, we'll be looking at 5 years out. But this literally sits in the back of my notes finder, and I look at it every day and say, no, am I doing this? No, crap, it's 5 o'clock. Maybe I get moving on something. You know, but are you putting that level of discipline in your marketing? If yes, great. If not, what you want is a great time to start, right? Last couple things I want to share. Again, what we're trying to do with every marketing opportunity is get people to kind of know us, know us better, like us more, or trust us. And once we've built that foundation, it makes it very easy for them to try, asking the question, do we make it easy for them to try? Do we make it easy for them to get in touch with us? Do we make it easy for them to sample how would we like doing business with us? Do we make it easy to buy? Do we make it easy to repeat? Are we encouraging and asking for referrals? Do we make it easy to refer us? And we make it easy to share via Facebook, via websites, whatever it is. Sending newsletters. What happens when someone sends a newsletter? You know, someone reads it. What else happens? Someone forwards it to another person who may never have heard of, but someone who's on their mind. Oh, I think Sally would like to see this. Wonderful. The more opportunities we give them, the more touches we have with our target market, with our ideal customer, the more opportunities they have to do all these things. How many of you though can honestly say that, you know, it's probably been 6 months since I talked to that one time last customer? Some of us might have some real lapses in the last time we touched what could otherwise be a potential great customer. You know, don't let those relationships last. Remember, it's all about having that system. You know, if we put that system in place and that system works, whether we're there or not, depending on how big our business is and how it grows, it's really hard to break that once it's there. Kind of like those rocks. Anyone ever seen those in the Bay Bay or in Hawaii? You'll see, you know, some of the places where a place like that, a statue like that has been there for years. And all those are just balanced. And the marketing system is a bit like that. And once we get that balance and nothing disturbs it, disturbs the business, it's kind of hard to talk about the system. So, questions? We've got a few minutes, I think, to cover some things you guys might want to ask about. Did that make sense? Did that resonate, or was that, questions, thoughts, feedback, the curiosity?
What is the company looking at to get on board with you to help start up a business or business to business and get us marketing strategies and grow the business?
Pain, suffering, and a lot of money? I mean, are you asking about time commitment or are you asking about dollar commitment? Are you leaving?
Time and money.
It's bad. Which is the consultants answer all the time, right? It depends. But we'll look at the last couple of businesses. We've got one business, a local law firm, you know, that this is their market. You know, so they've got a couple grand a month they invest in. All that inbound stuff we talked about, that could very well just be their plan. They're working on all of it. They want people to see them as experts, as trusted advisors. Law marketing is a little different, you can't just say they're an expert. And we spend about 4 hours a week with them, literally camped out next to them, working through this stuff. That's their commitment to this. Now, does every organization do that? We've got others who say, you know what, you know, here's $500, do what you can with it, good luck, have a nice day, don't call me unless you have problems. Literally. And that works out great too. It just depends on what your expectations are. You know, the law firm wants to be seen as the ultimate expert in their area of specialty. That's a commitment, both financially and time-wise for them, because to get to that level doesn't happen overnight. There's a lot of people putting a lot of hard work into that. Whereas others are like, you know, we just want to work with a little boost. We want a little consistency. We want someone that, you know, if we can't keep our eyes on the ball, you're keeping your eyes on it for us, and we can stay in deep. You know, but there's always an onboarding process, because just like we're talking about here, this week, we eat this dog every day. You know, we don't go in and say, well, let's just fire up some ads, because we know that doesn't work, and you're going to look at something else. We do go through the rigor of trying to understand, you know, what is your business, what makes it tick, and what makes the people who would buy from you tick, so that we're able to actually revenue. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So do you sit down with the client then and just kind of over their business and give them an idea of what you're doing?
Totally. Yeah. And it's really, we do like to really understand. I mean, every set for 2 meetings like that yesterday, each of them was 2.5 hours each. Sorry, that's a lot of time, but really understanding how does all of this stuff, a lot of the questions here about where people get to you, how does business come in, what's most, what I work, what have you done that works, what have you done that doesn't work, so on and so forth, to really understand, because, you know, we like to be involved, you know, and I think anyone who we work with should be an advocate for the business, which is why we say there's some businesses that, hey, you know what, maybe it's not a fit, because if we're not, you know, jazzed about the business, and others might be, I'm not saying that it's anything about your business, but boy, it's hard to market that. You know, I mean, have you ever tried to sell something that you really didn't like? That sucks. It's even harder when you try to put a whole plan together to do that. So, we'll just like, yeah, that's it. But we do invest a lot in that. Because it's fun. It's marketing things, right? Other questions, other thoughts? Well, we just covered. Yeah? Sure.
How do you decide to make the job?
Good question. What we call that is a cadence of consistent content to continue the conversation, which is a geeky way of saying how often. What we look at, we try to triangulate it a little bit. One, what's everyone else doing? So the people that you are serving, who are they hearing from and how often are they hearing from? For example, if you're serving, what business? What kind of business?
Food.
Okay.
How many samples for you?
Sweet. Obviously, I like samples. Who else is talking to them and how often are they talking to them? If no one else is having the conversation with them, maybe it's an opportunity to. Second, what are their habits with buying gentle? If you are selling a $7 million plastic extrusion machine, sorry, but sending weekly emails is kind of a pain in the you know what. They're not buying one every year. They're not buying one every 20 years. So careful about the weekly. Maybe a quarterly update on, you know, updates in the technology would be nice. But how many times do we go out to eat? How many times a week? Sometimes, never. Depends on our habits, right? But I would look at that, look at what the audience is hearing, look at what they're expecting. You know, and also look at what is the industry doing? You know, so are there, you know, what's the standard? Do people communicate weekly? Do they communicate monthly? They communicate daily. I mean, if you're in the sales and deal business like Groupon, Adobe Social, or now in Green Bay, Deal Chicken, I don't know who came up with that name, but it's funny. They're in the business of communicating sometimes daily because, hey, you know, 50% off at wherever, that could happen any day. And if it's that great a deal, I'll hear about it on Monday just as much as I like to hear about it on Wednesday. So I looked at a few of those things and just, you know, try to triangulate, well, what's going on? And what does my audience have the stomach for? Some of the basics that we always understand in terms of benchmarks, newsletters, once a week, tough but doable, depending on what I guess you can say. Once a month at minimum, once a quarter, wow, that's a long time between. If we're doing Facebook posts a couple times a day, think about how often that feed is refreshing with other content. You really get out of the conversation quickly if you're there only a few times a week. Blog posts a couple, three times a week, based on the research, says that that puts us in the best opportunity or sort of the best light for attracting leads and attracting traffic. Any more, you know, diminishing returns, any less, from the point of view. Does that make sense? Other thoughts, other questions?
Thanks, Barb. Do you think your marketing is a great way to get your information out? My question is, how do you build that following? Are there any quick tips for building?
You start with a really big email list and you pay them to become a fan. Which is actually not far from what some brands have done. Good question. Really a few things. When we look at Facebook, we put these in sort of organic day-to-day. Daily, I say daily boosts, but daily initiatives, and then catalysts. Start from the top down. Catalyst is more expensive and more effort. If you have like Jewelers Mutual Insurance down in Oshkosh or wherever they're at, has an email list of now about 200,000. When they send an email to 200,000 people, things happen. So they want, I think those are 40,000 Facebook fans. Yeah, you can get that through that email list and encouraging people to do stuff and whatnot. If you have an email list of 20, a little harder, right? The second thing that you might consider as a catalyst are contests. Anything that's a contest or promotion always drives traffic. Always drives traffic, always drives likes and feedback and shares, or depending on the contest, and depending on whether or not you can actually do that in your industry. Then we go sort of the daily initiative. Things like Dunkin' Donuts, where they do a fan of the day. Every single day, they change the little, you know, avatar, the little logo on the left-hand side of the Facebook page with a picture of one of their fans. How cheesy is that? Do you know what happens when someone becomes a fan of the day? What do you think they do? They tell their friends. The average person on Facebook has 130 friends on Facebook, so must have more. Anyone over 2,000? Seriously, you are nuts. That's awesome. One of my employees says, she's got about 1,300. I'm like, seriously, how do you do that? Anyway, I don't know how many I have, not that many. But you have a person with 130, and they share that with their friends, birds of a feather flock, to your Facebook page. And then the daily stuff is posting good content a couple times a day, posting links, posting organic stuff that people are going to be interested in. So you don't get a catalyst every day. So some brands do contests all the time. We've seen companies like Community Coffee Company, which is a coffee roaster out of Nashville, go from 0 to 100,000 by doing a combination of all those things. A contest monthly, fan of the day, actually fan of the week is what they cut down to now. And then every day they post 2 to 3 items of interest to the audience. And of course they respond to all queries and comments, and they just do things that, you know, that are engaging to